Well, our church has identified six core values that form the basis of everything we do. One of them is the authority of Scripture. Our 2022 theme, Living by the Book, directly comes out of this core value of the authority of Scripture. Another core value is the Lordship of Christ. This is Jesus' church. It's not the elders' church, not even the congregation's church. It's Jesus' church, and He is our Lord and our leader. And we are subject to His leadership. That's where prayer comes in, that we acknowledge His lordship and leadership of our church. Thirdly, the ministry of the body. Our church exists to minister to you, but you also, as a minister or as a member, minister to others in this body. It's a reciprocal relationship. Fourthly, an atmosphere of grace. We don't want to be guilty of manipulating or cajoling people into serving God. We want folks to serve God because they want to, not because they feel like they have to. And then fifthly, a family focus. We believe we can change our society by changing our families. And if you've noticed, and I don't think you could help but notice, our culture is trying to change society by focusing on the family, tearing it down, redefining it, destroying it, essentially. We intend and desire to change our culture in a positive way by emphasis on the family. Now, if you're a single person in our midst, and think about it, 50% of the population of our country are single. This doesn't leave you out. You got a big family. Our church desires to be your family and to influence and impact and play a part in your life. But the sixth core value is reaching our world. There's a twofold emphasis on this: reaching our world and then reaching our world. And that last core value is what is being emphasized this year as the theme of our church: send me out. Send me out to reach our world, our local tri-state area, with the gospel. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, in John chapter 20, verse 21, He gave a compelling command. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." As Rob already mentioned, this year we want to equip you to being a sent one of Jesus Christ. We want to encourage you to be a sent one of Jesus Christ. We want to give you opportunities to be a sent one of Jesus Christ. In fact, an opportunity for many of you will be presenting itself in the next 9 weeks as we engage in Upward basketball and cheerleading. If you have a child involved in Upward, use the practice time not just to sit in the bleacher like a bump on a log, but you have, think about it, 9 more weeks to develop a relationship with somebody, to find out about their spiritual journey, their spiritual story, and to share your spiritual journey. Use these Upward practices as a time where you can connect with someone spiritually. And you know that they're going to hear the gospel every halftime of Upward. That's what makes Upward distinctive of any other basketball and cheerleading program in our area. And so There's right there from the very beginning an opportunity for you to obey his command. In fact, you may say, well, Pastor Larry, I don't have a child involved in Upward. How about you take one evening a week and just show up and work the stands of people who are sitting there? Hi, my name's Larry. What's your name? You got, which one is your child? I'm like, oh boy, he or she, man, they're really good. I'm impressed. And, you know, I'm a member of River City's church. Do you have a church home? And then just go on and, again, develop that relationship with that person. And you choose the different night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night. Now, in the book of Acts, you see the church being sent out. Sent out locally in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Sent out universally to the ends of the earth. And in the opening verses of Acts, we see Jesus reaffirming what he had commanded his disciples immediately following his resurrection. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And he gives to us the message, the means, and the motivation of being the sent ones of Jesus Christ. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Through this year, we're going to be going through the book of Acts because it is probably the clearest book on being sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we say with the Lord Jesus, send me out convinced of your resurrection. This is our message. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Notice, we see in these verses, the resurrection is true. The quantity of evidence for the resurrection of Christ is encapsulated in that word in verse 3, many. The empty tomb proves the resurrection of Christ. The undisturbed grave clothes inside that tomb is a proof of the resurrection of Christ. The appearances over 40 days that Jesus made are proofs of the resurrection of Christ. And all of those and others led to the proof of changed disciples. Think about it. These disciples were transformed from cowardly followers of Jesus to courageous followers of Jesus. They were transformed from fearful disciples to fearless apostles. What explains the change in the lives of these men? The only thing that can explain it adequately is the resurrection of Christ. Friends, the resurrection is true. And that's our message to a world that needs to hear truth. But then notice the quality of evidence also. Many proofs. This word translated proofs, the Greek word tekmerion, this is the only place it occurs in the New Testament. And so to find out what the writer meant by this word proofs, you kind of got to go to other literature of the day And it's used in the classical Greek writings of like Plato. And it means the strongest proof of which a subject is susceptible. That's why the King James Version tags the word infallible along with this word proofs. There's not the word infallible, it's kind of caught up in the word proofs. The NIV and the New American Standard Version use the word convincing attached to this word proof. The resurrection of Christ is true in its quantity and its quality. But notice, secondly, the resurrection of Christ transforms. It is the message we have that can change a life. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. The evening of his resurrection, Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The transforming message of Christ. 19th century British pastor G. Campbell Morgan put it this way: "When we gather in worship today, we do not do so in the memory of a dead leader, but in the presence of a living Lord." That's the message of the resurrection. Some of you may have heard of the Christian singer Kathy Tricoli. In the October 1994 issue of Campus Life, she shared her story. Kathy said, "Maybe you've heard the phrase, 'We are as sick as our secrets.' Well, I was real sick. While Kathy started out rebelling against an overprotective mother, she wound up rebelling against herself and at the expense of her own health and self-esteem. Into this swirl of rebellion and alcohol and unhappiness, Jesus came in the form of a nerd. At the time, Kathy was partying with her friends and singing in clubs by night. By day, she was working her summer job at a community pool, and Cindy was her prissy coworker who read the Bible every day during lunch." Kathy said, "She was the epitome of a girl I would not hang out with. I hung out with the harder girls, tougher. Cindy was kind of frilly, pink. She was like a pink girl. And when she started telling me about Jesus, I made fun of her. And yet, somehow, deep down inside, I admired her. I was intrigued by her boldness. I liked it. She didn't seem to care what people thought about her. I even suspected she was right and that I was on the wrong path. Kathy knew the truth of Christianity hung by a thin thread called faith. She knew there were unanswerable questions, and day after day, she fired one question after another at frilly, pink Cindy. Finally, Cindy made the statement that got Kathy's attention. She said, 'You know, Kath, Jesus is Lord whether you accept him or not.' 'I went home thinking about that,' said Kathy. 'I did have this growing sense that if Jesus was real, I had to check him out. Cindy obliged, giving Kathy a small New Testament. My other friends thought I was weird, says Kathy, because I was taking this Bible home. But I did, unapologetically. I read the Gospel of John, plowing right on through. Despite a few unanswered questions, when I got to the end, I knew I had to make a decision. If Jesus was who he said he was, I would have to respond. Everything would have to change. On August 5th, 1988, it did. Everything changed. Or rather, the changes began. Folks, Jesus sends us out with his true, transforming message of the resurrection. But notice, secondly, in this passage, in verses 4 through 8, we cry, "Send me out, controlled by your spirit." Verse 4, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know seasons or times that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Notice, first of all, the power of the Spirit as Jesus sends us out. He spoke these same powerful words the day after his resurrection. In Luke 24, 46 through 48, scriptures we've already seen. As they come up on the screen, there we go. Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." But verse 49 continues, "And behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit as we are engaged in telling people the transforming message of the gospel. Bill Bright is the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And he defines success in evangelism probably as well as anybody has ever defined it. Success in evangelism, Bright says, is taking the initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results up to him. You see, friend, when you share the gospel with a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, that's a win. Whether they trust Christ as their Savior or not, you have done your job. You see, it's not our job to bring people to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to bring Jesus to people. And so as you share the gospel this year with people that you have a burden for, people you've been praying for, realize that you are doing what God has called you to do. But not only do we see the power of the Holy Spirit, but we see the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed by the power of prayer. The night before Jesus died, Jesus spoke some amazing words. In John chapter 14, 12 through 14, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you." And isn't that what Jesus always does? Speaks the truth. You know, it's not just words he throws out there, "Truly, truly." No, he means what he says and says what he means. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Wow. Now, wait a minute. Jesus said, we will do greater works than him. How many of you have ever raised the dead? Well, I speak to the dead about every Sunday, you know. So I guess that kind of counts. No, I'm teasing. Y'all are hanging right with me. I appreciate it. So it doesn't mean greater works in kind. None of us have done the works that Jesus did when he was on this earth. But we can do greater works in extent. You see, Jesus could only be one place at one time when he was on planet Earth. As we walk out these doors, we're scattered all over the city of Huntington and can do greater works than him. But notice, it comes through the power of prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. Part of our send me out theme is going to be praying for lost family members, co-workers, neighbors, relatives. In fact, at the close of today's service, we're going to distribute 3x5 cards for you to write the name of one lost person. In fact, you may even want to put just their first name. You may even want to put their relationship, co-worker John, neighbor Betty. And during this year, we are going to be praying over those names. And what we are trusting God for is that those names on a bulletin board will be transferred from lost column to saved column. Have we not seen the power of prayer to the saving of the lost in just these last couple of weeks in our church? Pastor Rob mentioned about Brother Mark Stambo. It was so good to call you that. Brother Mark Stambo said his wife prayed for him for 45 years. Just recently, our own church administrator, Melinda McComas, aunt for whom she had prayed for over 30 years, trusted Christ as a Savior, her Savior, on Christmas Eve, and just this last week, slipped off into eternity to meet the Savior. Folks, prayer works. If you ask anything Jesus said in my name, I will do it. So at the close of the service, we're going to distribute these cards. Take one card, take five cards, take 10 if you've got that many names. And jot the name, one name per card. And then you'll have an opportunity to come and put those cards in our little evangelism chest. Multitasking chest here. It's Christmas Eve benevolence offering chest, and now it's evangelism chest for people to be prayed over. And we are going to pray over those names. We have a prayer group that meets every Sunday night. We'll be praying over those names. The elders meet, and before every elders meeting, we pray. We're going to be praying over those names, as well as you praying for the names that you put in this box. Jesus sends us out with the message of salvation by means of the power of the Spirit. But thirdly, we discover the motivation of sharing Jesus, of living for Jesus. And that is, we say, send me out challenged by your return. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, the scripture says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, we live those lives waiting expectantly for Christ's return. Folks, whenever you go to a hospital or your doctor's office, the first thing they do is to take your vitals. Blood pressure, temperature, oxygen rate in your blood, oxygen saturation in your blood. This gives an immediate indication of the health and vitality of the patient. Well, in our passage today, we see three vital signs to your spiritual health. Do you have a message? Are you convinced of Jesus' resurrection? Do you gather together in memory of a dead leader or in the presence of the living Lord? Secondly, do you rely on the means? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit, or do you grieve Him by sin in your life, or ignore Him by prayerlessness? And finally, are you motivated by Christ's return? Does His return challenge you to godly living, or do you go about your days with little or no thought of the possibility of Christ's return? Those three matters can give you a good reading on your spiritual health and vitality. Are you healthy enough for God to send you out, spiritually speaking? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have entrusted us with the message of Jesus, the transforming message of Christ. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to that trust. Lord, help us to realize the truth of the song that will be sung. We're filling out those cards. People need the Lord. And we can be the agent of somebody coming to know the Lord this year. Lord, help us see who in our family, who among our friends, Who among our neighbors needs the Lord? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.